This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending immense greetings and salutations upon the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who the final seal of prophethood, and thus today's journey begins to speak about Suratul Anbiya, the surah that speaks about the prophets, the messengers, the 21st surah of the Quran, 112 verses, a Meccan surah, whereby in the previous surahs, it began to give a slight prelude or slight discussion about some of their paths or the struggles that they went through. Specifically, if we look back at Surah Yusuf and Surah Ibrahim, the story of Yusuf alayhi salam and the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And as if this surah, as many ulama have said, is just finishing the story or the encouragement to the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. That look what existed before to these prophets that came before you and the striving and the struggle that they went through. And that's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about these messengers, وَجَعَلْنَاهُمْ أَئِمَّةً يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا. We made these individuals to become a'immah, to become leaders of their people. وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْهِمْ فِعْلَ الْخَيْرَاتِ وَإِقَامَ الصَّلَاةِ وَإِيتَاءَ الزَّكَاةِ وَكَانُوا لَنَا عَابِدِينَ. And we gave them revelation was given to each of these individuals. And we inspired them to carry out good actions, persevere in their actions, establishing the prayer, giving of the zakah. وَكَانُوا لَنَا عَابِدِينَ. And they were our worshippers. And that's many ulama that mentioned that the highest grading, the highest laqab, the highest title that you can give to any human being is Abdullah, is a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because some of us, we may think that's a minimal title to give to a human being. That's the highest maqam, the highest title that Allah gives to the messengers, gives to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam as well specifically. Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi. Glorified be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, took his servant, Nuh alayhi salam, wa kana abdan shakura. Nuh is classified as a grateful servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here likewise Allah mentions about these messengers, wa kanu lana abideen. They were our worshippers. That's why we have to follow their methodology, their path of becoming worshippers of Allah. Till eventually Allah mentions that Surah Al-Furqan, the 25th chapter of the Quran, وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَانِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ لَأَرْضِ هَوْنَا. Who are عِبَادُ الرَّحْمَانِ? Who are the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Who walk upon the face of the earth in a state of humility, tranquility, not in a state of arrogance, in a pomp and show. They are humble individuals in their focus towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِذَا خَاطَمُوا الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. Ignorant individuals who waste their time, waste their mind, waste of words, or they say waste of space. قَالُوا سَلَامًا. But that's what much of this world has become. We don't know, we're not visualized in what we're trying to achieve or gain inside this world. And many of us, all of us, we all fall prey to that. That squandering one's time, wasting one's time. That's what the Quran mentions. فَاسْبِرْ كَمَا صَبَرَ عُلُوا الْعَزْمِ مِنَ الرُّسُلِ. Be patient. Be committed to what you want to do inside your lives. كَمَا صَبَرَ عُلُوا الْعَزْمِ مِنَ الرُّسُلِ. Just like the five strong, resolute prophets, they were focused inside their lives. And that's what these surahs are teaching us inside our lives. Look at these individuals and look at their stories, what they carried out inside their lives. So that's here inside this surah. Allah mentions 14 different prophets. Separately, he mentions them in a few glimpses about their life, and specifically about Ibrahim alayhi salam inside this surah is mentioned, and some supplications, some of the prophets. And even if you study the Quran where Allah mentions about the prophets, Allah mentions at times a cluster of prophets. He brings them together. Inside Surah Al-An'am that we find, Allah mentions 18 different prophets are mentioned together. From only 25 prophets that exist inside the Quran, 18 are mentioned together. Inside Surah Al-Nisa, 14 are mentioned together. And there's a sir, there's a hidden element if you study these surahs or these passages, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking about these messengers, these prophets. And why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speak about only these 14 inside Surah Al-Anbiya, in this 21st surah? Because some of the ulama tafsir have mentioned, because if you look at these 14 individuals, you find their proximity in the striving, in the struggle of the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. Because we know that the messengers, ummahatum shatta walakin dinum wahid, their mothers are variants, different mothers they had. Walakin dinum wahid, but their way of life is one. So they all shared the same things, three things, all messages, prophets that they shared. The concept of belief, the concept of ahkam, the concept of akhlaq, characteristics. Aqidah doesn't change of the prophets, nor does akhlaq change of the prophets. The only thing that changes from one prophet to another prophet is ahkam, rules and regulations. Something which was haram before could become halal, or something which you just dislike could become something which is preferable inside our sharia. As for the rest of it, it's all constant in everything that they preach towards humanity. And like if we look at the Injil today, that we find so much discrepancies inside it, different versions, different words, different things are mentioned. And that's why even inside the Quran, it highlights those discrepancies. And it tells us this is the way that we need to follow, of the way of the Anbiya, the way of the messengers highlighted. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strangely concludes this surah. After mentioning all the previous 13 surahs speaking about them, Allah then concludes it with وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Allah then concludes it with the best of the messengers, the seal of prophethood, the ultimate prophet, the best prophet, none other than the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We not send you as a mercy to all of the worlds, whether it be the world of the jinn, or the human being, or any unseen world, whether it be the world of paradise. He's the messenger of everything. The messenger who opens up the doors of paradise. No prophet, no messenger, no nation, no tribe, no people. That's why we are the last people. But we're the first people to come on the day of judgment. Standing behind whom? Behind the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And that's why we should read about him. About the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, to gain that inspiration. Just like he gains his inspiration from the stories of the prophets. Because in the human element of his life, at moments he did become upset. He did become worried. And that's why the Quran, it came down. That we reveal this Quran upon you. مَا نُثَبِّتُ بِفُؤَادَكَ. To strengthen your heart. That read through the lives of the previous prophets and messengers. How they persevered and what struggling that they went through. And thus inside this surah, you find no exception about all these individuals striving and struggling away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All this surah, 112 verses, a Meccan surah. And most of the ulama tafaseer, they go to this view that is near enough consensus that all this surah is a Meccan surah. Whatever Ibn al-Jawzi inside his works of Zadul Masir, or Ibn Atiyah, Sahib al-Wajiz, al-Andalusi, Imam Qurtubi, all say this is a pure Meccan surah. And you read this surah and study this surah, you see why. They all agree it's a Meccan surah in the nature, in the wording of this surah. And even the name itself, Al-Anbiya, is as if it's laying out, what is the whole theme of this surah? The whole theme of this surah is nothing but the prophets and what they preached. The last day, accountability, paradise. That's what they preach. Oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tawheed, belief. As if the whole of their lives is segmented, put together inside this one surah. What all these individuals preaching towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Bukhari speaks about the fadl, the virtue of this surah, as one of the companions who mentions about this surah, that Banu Israel, Wal Kahf, Wal Maryam, Wal Taha, Wal Anbiya, Min Itaq Al Awwal. These are from amongst the first surahs, from the first surahs of revelation. And as we began with, this shows the insight that when you read these surahs, you can see the struggling that the Prophet alayhi salam, he went through. So it inspires us that the hardship that he was going through, that there's alleviation, there's strengthening of his iman. Because in all honesty, what struggles do we go through? That we begin to say that there's hardship for what we're facing inside our lives. Our hardships are nothing at all compared to what the prophets and the messengers what went through inside their lives to preserve the deen, preserve it for us that we may now rejoice today. But unfortunately, we don't rejoice in this deen. Some of us don't have an interest inside this deen. We don't have an interest about it. What they strived and they strove and they struggled for, we can't seem careless about it. We don't care less about it. That makes no difference to us, what these individuals carried out inside their lives. And as you find, this surah begins by highlighting what is the key element of the messages, key element of a Muslim, what would awaken us is the last day. Allah begins the surah mentioning, اقْتَرَبَ لِلنَّاسِ حِسَابُهُمْ وَهُمْ فِي غَفْلَةٍ مُعْرِضُونَ. اقْتَرَبَ لِلنَّاسِ حِسَابُهُمْ. Indeed, the accountability of human beings has come close by. And inside the same surah, Allah mentions, وَاقْتَرَبَ الْوَعْدُ الْحَقُّ. So twice Allah mentions, it's come very, very close. And here, ulama of tafasil, Ibn Ashur, sahib al-tahwir wa tanwir, he begins to discuss this one kalima, this one verb, اقْتَرَبَ. Because Allah could have said, قَرُوبَ. It's come close. Why اقْتَرَبَ? Why does Allah use certain wording? That's why every single letter, every single verb which has an addition, it carries a more deeper meaning. That's how deep the Arabic language is. That's how deep the Quran is. That as if it's saying that it's so close by, and on top of that, it's going to be a form of shadeed. iqab. That what's going to happen next, that is quickly going to come, and then you're going to face that punishment. So اقترب للناس حسابهم وهم في غفلة معرضون. The hour has come very close. The accountability, but most people are in a state of heedlessness. In a hadith, we find the Prophet, as I mentioned, بعثت أنا وساء كهاتين. My sending and the coming of the hour is like these two fingers. Like these two fingers. Various descriptions are highlighted. What does it mean by this descriptive nature of the Prophet, ﷺ? Either it means that he is the final prophet, there's no prophet after him. No prophet is going to come. Or it means that, so much time has gone by, only a short time is left. Only a short time is left. Or the other meaning is time is going to be so swift, so quick. Time's going to go past by. Look at many of us inside our lives. 30 years, 40 years, 50 years has gone by like a blinking of an eye. So the hour is coming. What is remaining is less. What's gone by is so many years have gone by. Only a few years are left in coming of the hour is what this hadith is trying to highlight. And as we find at the beginning of the reminder is the last day. As in Surah Ibrahim, we mentioned, وَذَكِّرُمْ بِأَيَّامِ اللَّهِ. Remind them about the days of meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the more the person becomes focused in their fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in their worry about the standing in the last day, the more simple the rest of life becomes. It becomes very simple that if a person has that inside their heart and their mind, the concept of accountability, of hisab, as mentioned towards the end of this surah, that when the scriptures are laid out, or another place where Allah mentions inside this surah, وَإِنْ كَانَ مِثْقَالَ حَبَّةٍ مِنْ خَرْدَلٍ أَتَيْنَا بِهَا وَكَفَى بِنَا حَاسِبِينَ. That even happens to be an atom's grain, a seed, a piece of rice, a grain of rice, a mustard seed. Even happens with that, we're going to bring it forth to accountability. So when a Muslim becomes worried that every single thing about my life is going to be accounted for, that fear leads to becoming worried in not just our actions, worried in our speech. That many of us are so loose with our tongues. And that some of us, we think even in the religious ceremony or in our religious clerics that we find, we're so loose with our tongues in condemning and damning people, sending people to the hellfire. It's become so loose, so easy. That's not the role of an alim, a scholar, to condemn people, to throw them into the hellfire. It's to save people and not to be specifics about people. Because only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ, as a mercy to people, merciful to people, to help guide them to come out of their haram, their ghafla, their heedlessness. That's why ulama said inside this surah, اِقْتَرَبَ لِلنَّاسِ حِسَابٌ مُهُمْ فِي غَفْلَةٍ. غَفْلَةٌ هُنَا بِمَعْنَى الدُّنْيَا وَلَوْ كَانَ حَلَالًا. Most of us are heedless of the akhirah because we're so overtaken with the dunya. Whether it be ulama said, whether it's halal or haram, that's not the topic. We're so engrossed inside the dunya, we lose vision towards al-akhirah. And that shouldn't happen to a Muslim inside their life. That even inside, when they're working inside the dunya, don't lose your vision, your perception towards al-akhirah that we find. Ibn Kathir mentions, هذا تنبيه من الله عز وجل على اقتراب الساعة. This is a warning from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the hour is coming very close. وأن الناس في غفلة عنها واستعداد لها. People in a state of heedlessness regarding it and their preparation regarding this last day to meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins many surahs inside the Quran speaking about the last day. Surah Al-Nahl, the 16th chapter of the Quran. أَتَى أَمْرُ اللَّهِ فَلَا تَسْتَعْجِلُوهُ. أَتَى أَمْرُ اللَّهِ. The commandment, the last day, the hour has been established. فَلَا تَسْتَعْجِلُوهُ. Don't try to hasten it. It has its appointed time. In Surah Al-Qamar that we find, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, اِقْتَرَبَتِ السَّاعَةُ وَانْشَقَّ الْقَمَرُ. Surah Al-Qamar, the 54th chapter of the Quran, is another sign of the prophethood or the end of this world. That's where you find, he said to one of the companions, count six things before the coming of the last day. Amongst those six things, the first thing that he mentioned, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was mauti, is my death, my demise. That's what even inside this surah Allah mentions, that do you think you're going to live for eternity? Or do people think that if you pass away, people are going to live forever? No one's going to live forever. There has to come an ending. That's why the first sign of all the signs of the day of judgment, all the 90 minor signs or so of the day of judgment that we find, the minor signs, the beginning of those signs is the death of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And a side point, if you understand his death, Read what the companions went through and what they classified as the greatest calamity inside their lives. And what are we doing as we began? What are we doing with his message? Alayhi salatu wasalam. What are we doing with his message that has been entrusted upon us? What do we do with that message now? That they broke down thinking that's the end. And it's been entrusted upon us. And as I mentioned, this trust will be given to the human beings. Offered it to the heavens and the earth. وَحَمَلَهَا الْإِنسَانِ إِنَّوْ كَانَ ظَلُومًا جَهُولًا. But this human being is oppressive, it's ignorant. That's what most of mankind are, ignorant towards the message of the Prophet ﷺ and ignorant towards the messengers themselves. Thus we find that these men are sent to illuminate us. As Allah mentions numerous places inside this surah, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا قَبْلَكَ إِلَّا رِجَالًا نُوحِي إِلَيْهِمْ فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. We did not send men except for men to be messengers. And we inspired them, we gave them revelation. فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Ask the people of dhikr, the people of knowledge, the people of understanding. If you don't know. Then again Allah mentions, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا نُوحِي إِلَيْهِ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَىٰ إِلَّا أَنَا فَعْبُدُونَ. Again Allah mentions the same contrast of words. That we sent men to be messengers. And we inspired them and we gave them revelation to worship only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then in the end of the surah Allah mentions, قُلْ إِنَّمَا يُوحَى إِلَيَّ أَنَّمَا إِلَهُكُمْ إِلَهٌ وَاحِدٌ فَهَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. We gave this revelation to you, to the messengers, that there's only one deity to be worshipped, that's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَهَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. Are you going to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And that's, what did the messenger bring? What, all of them brought their own revelation that was given to them at their due point. And here Allah mentions, لَقَدْ أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكُمْ كِتَابًا فِيهِ ذِكْرُكُمْ. Remember, as we began, this Quran is primarily speaking to the Quraysh, or this surah is speaking to the Quraysh. We sent down this book that's speaking about you, speaking about the Quraysh, speaking about what existed before the Quraysh. And that's why some of the ulama mentioned, Ibn Abbas mentioned, ذِكْرُكُمْ بِمَعْنَا شَرَفُكُمْ. Your nobility, your ranks. And some ulama said that via holding fast to the Quran, the person becomes lifted inside this dunya. That's how a person becomes praised, they're remembered via their obedience to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. Why don't they comprehend and understand? Then again Allah mentions, وَهَذَا ذِكْرُ مُبَارَكٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ أَفَأَنْتُمْ لَهُ مُنْكِرُونَ. We sent down this dhikr, مُبَارَكٌ. This is a blessed book. Another place in the Quran Allah mentions that this Quran that we sent down upon you is a blessed book. That a person should reflect, لِيَدَّبَّرُ آيَاتِهِ, to reflect and to ponder over the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَوْ إِلَيْكَ مُبَارَكٌ لِيَدَّبَّرُ آيَاتِهِ وَلِيَتَذَكَّرَ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. A blessed book that we sent down upon you, that you may ponder and reflect. لِيَدَّبَّرُ آيَاتِهِ. Ponder and reflect over the ayat, the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah mentions inside this surah, as you mentioned, it's not possible to go through every single verse of 112 verses, but to pluck certain verses that have relevance to us inside our lives. The message is there that why are we upon this earth? Allah mentioned, وَمَا خَلَقْنَا السَّمَاءَ وَالْأَرْضَ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا لَاعِبِينَ. We didn't create the heavens and the earth لَاعِبِينَ, just out of jest and play. If everything around us has been placed there لِلْقَصْدِ وَلِلْغَايَةِ, everything around us has been placed there for a purpose. So how can the human being think there's no purpose for me? غَيْر مَعْقُول. Doesn't make sense that everything around us that revolves around us has a purpose. And we, the human beings, say, there's no purpose for me. Sudfatan, just all of a sudden, God just decided to create this world, or there happened to be this a Big Bang theory, or people came into existence. And that's what we're going to do upon this, just live, die, eat, drink, just to enjoy ourselves. You know, these cliches sound like non-Muslim cliches, but they're our cliches now. They're our Muslim cliches now. That's what we believe as well. It's just about enjoying yourself. Just having a good time. Just having a good life. There's nothing wrong with having a good life. As long as your good life doesn't distract you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if your good life drifts you away, then we should be worried about this good life. That this good life is overcoming us in taking away from our real purpose of being upon the face of this earth. And then Allah also mentioned that everything around us has been created. وَجَعَلْنَا مِنَ الْمَاءِ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ حَيٍّ أَفَلَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. You know, scientific proofs are there inside the Quran for those who want to search for them. As you said, primarily the Quran isn't a book of science, it's a book of spirituality. But some moments inside the Quran, Allah testifies to certain things that people can reflect upon them. وَجَعَلْنَا مِنَ الْمَاءِ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ حَيٍّ أَفَلَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. We created every living thing from water. And Allah doesn't say, just reflect there. أَفَلَا يُؤْمِنُونَ Why don't they believe? When science proves something, they still don't want to believe. They still don't want to accept. That's what you call arrogance, pride. That's what you call rejection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِن يَرَوْ كُلَّ آيَةٍ لَا يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَا And they see every single sign. They still don't believe. And signs after signs are shown towards these individuals. And then this excessive questioning that these people have, and we have as well. Allah says inside this surah, لَا يُسْأَلُوا عَمَّا يَفْعَلُوا وَهُمْ يُسْأَلُونَ No one can ever ask Allah, why did he do this? Why did he do that? وَهُمْ يُسْأَلُونَ They will be asked. So this mentality that we have, that we always question everything. Why is it like this? Why is it like that? Why does the Quran say this? Why did the Prophet say this? Why did he tell us to sit down and urinate? Why did he tell us to eat like this? Why did he tell us to dress like this? We're living in the 21st century, in a modern world. Why are we discussing these things for? And some even Muslims, why are we discussing this? What relevance does this have to the modern world around us? It has a great relevance to the modern world around us. Because when people don't know how to defecate, how to eat, how to live a life, and they're trying to tell us, instill amongst us and our children, this is the way that you live a life. That's the worry. And some of us fall prey to that. That they're trying to indoctrinate into our mind, into our hearts, this is a normal way of life. And to enforce that upon us. If you talk about Hurriya, freedom of speech and expression and religion and whatever it may be in the constitutions that you write about, what's the point of these constitutions? And that's why our women, they choose via their own choice, because it's ta'a lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not obedience towards their husbands, what they try to preach, or society. They do it because it's obedience to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told them to do inside the Quran. Inside Surah An-Nur, Surah Al-Ahzab, Surah An-Nisa. The Quran is telling them to do this. They do it out of their own conviction that they are doing this action to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when our mind becomes warped up, we don't understand what the Quran is. That even the religious garment, it becomes for what society will find acceptable. What they accept as hijab. It's not what they accept as hijab. They don't have a clue about what hijab is. That we need to dress in a hijab to it pleases them. It beautifies them. It impresses them. Hijab isn't beauty. That should be crystal clear. Iqra'u kullu al-fuqaha. Read all the books of the fuqaha. Whichever imam, whichever madhab that you follow. Read the fuqaha, what they say about what is jilbab al-mar'ah. What is the dress sense of the Muslim woman? Unanimous, only a few things they speak about the hand or about the face. And even those who speak about allowing the face of the woman, they say, if kana maratul jamila, if she, her face shows beauty or she beautifies herself, فَالْأَوْلَ لَهَا أَن تُغَطِّي وَجْهَهَا Even those fuqaha were allowed to reveal the face, they said, if she beautifies herself or her face becomes a form of temptation, fitna, she should cover her face. So I don't know which fuqaha these people are following today. As we mentioned many times, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا zina, don't go towards zina. The messengers came to warn people, to keep them away from haram, not allow them to do haram, and then come with solutions inside our lives that we try to resolve with. So this all excessive questioning that we live inside this society, of questioning everything around us. We should all safely agree one thing that we can't question. That here Allah mentions, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ وَنَبْلُوكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةً وَإِلَيْنَا تُرْجَعُونَ We should all agree upon that. All humans should agree upon that. Every living thing will die, will perish. As for Muslims, وَنَبْلُوكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةً We're going to test you. As Ibn Kathir mentions, there's going to be hardships, difficulties, good things, bad things, loss of wealth, property. That's life. That's what Allah wants to do. He wants to test us inside this life to see who of us really believes. Do you really think that if Salah was every single day at the same time throughout the year, or Hajj was in the same mawsim, in the same season, or Zakat was always set a certain amount, don't you think every single Muslim would submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Why does it alternate? Why does Allah change certain things to see whether we really do obey Allah? Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, أَوَلَا يَرَوْنَ أَنَّمْ يُفْتَنُونَ فِي كُلِّ عَامٍ مَرَّةً أَوْ مَرَّتَيْنَ ثُمَّ لَا يَتُوبُونَ وَلَهُمْ يَذَّكَّرُونَ Every once or twice in a year, all of us face affliction, adversities, hardships, loss of wealth, a job, property, loved ones, sickness. Every human being, Allah places that upon every single human being for what intent? That you may then repent and turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Ibn Kathir, he mentions. However, we find that the human being, as Allah describes, خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ مِنْ عَجَلٍ سَأُرِيكُمْ آيَاتِي فَلَا تَسْتَعْجِلُونَ This human being, Amma Adam alayhi salam, or the more general, generic meaning is the human being. Khuliqal insanu min ajalin. Man is hasty. Hasty in everything that we do inside our lives. Right from the beginning to the end, anything that we want to do, it just has to be hastily done. A quick result. Just to reach to the top, whatever it may be. To be hasty inside our lives is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described the human being. وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ عَجُولًا. Excessive hastiness. Doesn't ponder, doesn't reflect. Look at our society, if you really think about it. Most of the problems we're facing is because what we've done in our youth. That we're hasty in our youth, we made the wrong decisions in our life, that we were even told, don't do this inside your life. You're going to see the repercussions later on, but we shrug it off. We shrug it off thinking, no, it's not. That's not going to happen to me. But as they say, it comes back to haunt us. And as we find that the hardship that we're seeing inside our society, it's there, it's visible. Because we're hasty, we're not taking heed. The intelligent individual is one who sees the mistakes of society, mistakes of people, even mistakes of their own family members, and tries to rectify, not to go down that same path. And in the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَنَدْعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطَ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. That on that day of judgment that we find that the mawazin, whether it be one scale or a number of scales, ulama they discuss, the scale will be placed there in equity and justice. فَلَا تُدْلَمُ نَفْسٌ شَيْئًا وَنْ كَانَ مِثْقَالَ حَبَّةٍ مِنْ خَرْدَلٍ أَتَيْنَا بِهَا وَكَفَى بِنَا حَاسِبِينَ. No one will be wronged on that day in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why Ibn Kathir and other ulama speak about that on the day when the scales are laid there. You know, a man will come and the scales are tipped. He's on his way to Jahannam. And they said there's one parchment, one piece of paper. He said, what is one piece of paper going to do for me? What's the benefit of this parchment going to do to me? When he opened that parchment, he said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. The testimony of faith is placed on the scale and it tips the scales. He had some conviction inside his heart. That's why we shouldn't be judgmental. That's why I said time and time, it's all dogma, theology, rhetoric, it's all speech. We don't know what exists in a man's heart. No one knows what exists in a man's heart because we become very, this culture teaches to judge other people. That's not a Muslim's role. That was never the messenger's role. Only on rare occasions he condemned so-and-so individuals to the hellfire. Even the munafiqun, he remained silent. He only disclosed it to one or two individuals. That's the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. People who try to torture and kill him. Look how abrupt we are. Just don't agree with somebody on something. Well, he must be like this. He must be like that. This shows a lack of our reading and understanding of the Quran and the environment that we live in and what we're doing inside our lives. We are each other's throats. That's what we are. We're each other's throats. That's all we're good for. To be at each other's throats, to condemn this person to paradise, condemn that person to the hellfire, to make this one a corrupt individual, to make that one such and such individual. That's not what life's about. As we mentioned, every single atom's weight, person will be judged about it, asked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that day. So every man, every soul should be worried about themselves, that maybe I've oppressed someone, maybe I said the wrong words, maybe I've got mountains of good deeds that I profess to have. But maybe at the same time, my tongue is so loose, my behavior is so abrupt, that I oppress a people the way that I speak, or the way that I conduct myself, or things that I do to people. So those people that have said things about them, they're going to be rushed to paradise and I'll be pushed back. خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ مِنْ عَجَلٍ. Being hasty. That's why we're hasty. We just, even every day we walk to the masjid, see somebody doing something, hasty, have to say something, have to give a rebuttal, have to make my point, have to be known, have to be seen, have to be tell this person, I told that person. That's not hikmah. That's not wisdom. That's not understanding. That you feel abruptly that every time you have to correct someone in your life. That's the right way in life. That's not the right way in life. There's far other patterns and methods of correcting people inside lives. And that's why some Muslims, they're sick of us. We shouldn't shy away from that. They are sick of us because our whole attitude, the way it is towards other Muslims, they'd rather see the back of us. Because we don't give them a comfortable feeling about what Islam is. Or give them that hope, the aspiration, that good feeling, the way of the messengers, how they were. A man came to the Prophet and asked him, let me just pray twice a day. He allowed it for him. And look at his wisdom. He said that he will gradually build up to pray 5 times a day. Even though hadha khas lil nabi, this is specific for the Prophet. We're not saying that we should allow that for someone today, but just to understand the concept of wisdom. How he tolerated certain things with the subjects of the people around him. And that leads us on to the prophets. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins to speak about these prophets. That's why look at the sir of these prophets, what they went through. Ibrahim alayhi salam, some verse 51 to 70. Read this story here in great detail. When he asked his people, ما هذه التماثيل? What are these statues, these idols? Antum laha aqifun, you're worshipping them. Shirk is rampant around us. We're living in a country which is full of kufr, disbelief, ilhad. That's the da'wah we should be doing. That's the focus. The statues, the idolatry, the false worship. That's what we should be channeling our efforts towards in the wider society. And that's what Ibrahim alayhi salam, he asked these people, what are these statues that you're worshipping? And obviously in their rage, they weren't able to respond to him. What did they say to him? They said, harriquhu wansuru alihatakum in kuntum fa'ilin. Burn him and rescue your idols, your deities, if you're going to do something. وَقُلْنَا يَا نَارُ كُونِي بَرْدًا وَسَلَامًا عَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمٍ. We said to the fire, become cool. Ulama said that if Allah never said wasalaman, first he could have been burned, then second time he could have frozen to death. But Allah said, بَرْدًا وَسَلَامًا. Cool and peaceful. عَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمٍ. The best days of his life were inside the fire. That's why numerous narration Ibn Kathir mentions when even Jibreel alayhi salam came to him, asked him, "Aindaka al-hajja?" He said, "Do you need anything?" He said, "Amma minka al-fala." From you, I don't need anything. Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. Qalahu Ibrahim alayhi salam lamma udkhila fi an-nar. Or ulkiya fi an-nar. Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel is what Ibrahim alayhi salam said when he was thrown into the fire. And that's the same thing that the Prophet alayhi salam said when he met the armies, he met them. The same supplication. And that's what you find inside this surah, the supplication of these messengers that we find. Look at Ayyub alayhi salam. Look at the difficulties that he went through. Whether it be 18 years or 20 years or number of years. That's what these Israeliyat traditions, many ulama said, فَلَا تُصَدِّقُهُمْ وَلَا تُكَذِّبُهُمْ. If it doesn't contradict the Quran and Sunnah, don't affirm them, don't negate them. But there could be some reality in trying to understand the concept that Ayyub alayhi salam, that he was a wealthy individual, had lots of children, wealth, Prophet, position. One by one, Allah began to take it away from him. One by one. Flesh was hanging off his body. Insects were coming out of his body. They said the only thing, as Ibn Kathir narrates, he mentioned, the only thing that remained of him was his heart and his tongue. And that you couldn't recognize him. Foul stench was coming from him that they then left him to one side. Only his wife would go there and entertain him, to be with him and to take care of him. Even then she had to go and work and to get food, etc. Everything's lost from him. And then she made that complaint to him that, you know, you're a messenger of Allah. Why are you going through this? And then he rebuked her as well. That if I've lived 70, 80 years of a good life, that if Allah tests me for 70, 80 years, it makes no difference. And look at his supplication. Where you anni masaniya dur. He said, oh my Lord, it's just touched me. Affliction has touched me. He doesn't say, look at the state of me, Ya Rab. I'm your servant. I'm your messenger. Look at this hardship I'm going through inside my life. He just says, some affliction has touched me. Wa anta arhamur rahimin. And you're the most merciful one. Fastajabna lahu fakashafna ma bihi min durrin. We responded to him and we unveiled the hardship that he was going through, adversity he was going through. وَأَتَيْنَوْ أَهْلَهُ وَمِثْلَهُ مَعُمْ رَحْمَةً مِّنْ عِنْدِنَا وَذِكْرَ لِلْعَابِدِينَ. We gave him, returned his family, his wealth, his property, all was given back to him. And then comes the pinnacle of all of the messages that are mentioned inside there, or Yunus alayhi salam. Dhunnun, the companion of the whale. You know, it's quite strange. Allah, inside the surah of Al-Anbiya, mentions these prophets and mentions their path and mentions their supplications and about their lives. وَذَنُّونِي إِذْ ذَهَبَ مُغَادِبًا فَظَنَّ أَلَّا نَقْدِرَ عَلَيْهِ فَنَادَى فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ أَلَّا إِلَّا إِلَّا أَنْتَ سُبْحَانَكَ إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ وَنَجَّيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْغَمِّ وَكَذَلِكَ نُنْجِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. One of the most powerful du'as inside the Quran. When Dhunnun, he left his people in a state of anger after years of preaching to his people, he left them, he walked away. And then they drew out lots. Because when he entered the ship, and every time Yunus Dhunnun, his name kept on coming up, and he just threw himself overboard. As Ibn Kathir narrates, as he threw himself overboard, you find that the whale came. This great big fish came and it swallowed him and it gave revelation to the whale, don't eat him. Preserve him inside your body. As Ibn Abbas, Ibn Mas'ud, they mentioned the dhulma. Dhulma tul layl. The darkness of the night. Dhulma tul bahr. The darkness of the ocean. وَظُلْمَةُ الْبَطْنُ الْحُوتِ and the darkness of the belly of the whale. فَنَادَى فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ He called out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This salt, it traveled to Allah. Imagine the concept where he is. Voice can't be heard. But that voice, it travels up. And he said, who is this individual? This individual is Yunus alayhi salam. He used to call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That you find a dua. في السراء والضراء وفي العلن وفي السر dua in the open, in secrecy, hardships, difficulties, all the time, person is remembering, calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when Allah said that this is a voice which is known, Allah knows whose voice it is. Allah knows it's the voice of Yunus alayhi salam. So he called out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ and we responded to him. And then look at encouragement. Allah then said, وَكَذَلِكَ نُنْجِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ There's in a hadith inside Sunnah of Imam Tirmidhi, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, whoever calls Allah via this dua, Allah will respond to that individual. Whoever calls out, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ سُبْحَانَكَ إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ Another message is mentioned inside this surah, even though there's many different, as we mentioned, 14 different prophets are mentioned. Prophet Musa ﷺ, Prophet Harun is mentioned, Prophet Lut ﷺ is mentioned. And then we find here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions Zakariya alayhi salam. And once again, we need to focus upon his action or supplication of him imploring and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Zakariya idnada rabbu, rabbi la tadarni fardan wa anta khairul warithin. Zakariya, he had no children. He said, don't leave me without, except I have some inheritors to inherit the nubuwa, the prophethood from me. And Allah mentioned, fastajabna lahu wa wahabna lahu yahya. We responded to him and we gave him the child of Yahya. وَأَصْلَحْنَا لَهُ زَوْجَهُ And we rectified his wife, meaning that she was barren. كَانَتْ aqima was barren, never had, couldn't have children. So we rectified her, gave her the blessing, being able to carry a child. إِنَّمْ كَانُوا يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ وَيَدْعُونَنَا رَغَبًا وَرَهَبًا وَكَانُوا لَنَا خَاشِعِينَ Look how Allah describes these prophets, these messengers, people who are obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, used to call out to Allah. In a state of hope, in a state of fear, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَكَانُوا لَنَا خَاشِعِينَ Just as we began with, what is ibadah? This is what ibadah, what worship, what life is. Is servitude and obedience towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah mentions, إِنَّ هَذِي أُمَّتُكُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدًا وَأَنَا رَبُّكُمْ فَاعْبُدُونَ As is the whole crux of all this journey of all of the prophets. As Ibn Kathir mentions, your ummah, this nation, deenukum, is one way of life. As we mentioned, it's one way of life that the messengers have one simple, easy message to give. There's no hidden elements of tawheed. There's no hidden elements of belief. It's just such a simple belief. What we've warped into society that you need this intermediary, this individual, this religious person, this pious person, this grave, this shrine, this imam, this person, that person, this utensil or this thing you need. Where does all this come from? It's a simple belief. It's a simple way of life. That's what they say. Quran is nothing but tawheed. Read the Quran again and again. All he's speaking about is worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If some people want to believe in some form of intermediary to get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's their own wrong understanding. And they need to be rectified that this path you're going towards, it doesn't really help you. Don't make similarities between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the messengers or between Allah and the people on the world around us. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ Nothing is like unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's all hearing, all seeing. So when you equate yourself that, you know, so-and-so does this, this will be given to them. Don't equate that with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. كُلَّ يَوْمٍ هُوَ فِي شَأْنٍ Every day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in his own affair, what he wants to do subhanahu wa ta'ala. No, as we mentioned, no one can ask him subhanahu wa ta'ala what he does and why he does it. So you find that this way of deen is one deen, one way of life. But we're just so fractured that believe it has to be like this. Who said it has to be like that? These are all extra readings for whoever wants to read them. Look at the message. The message came to people. Simple message. What did it say to the people? مَا لَكُم مِّنْ إِلَهٍ غَيْرُ Worship only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have no other deity to worship. Simple it was. Never went into deep technicalities. We come along and give all these deep technicalities. Yeah, but a person, it does believe in Allah, but it's not really the right belief in Allah. What does that mean? It's not really the right belief in Allah. Are they not calling upon Allah? Are they not asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Maybe certain things about, because we've learned them maybe slightly different, or we have a deeper or better understanding we may claim to have, but that doesn't mean that we become rudimentary towards people around us. Do you think that now they should have exactly the same perception I have? And as a personal point, if you go through any masjid, you find many of the average people are far better than us. They're far better than many of us who claim to be so-called religious people. They'll sit there in secrecy and they'll implore and call upon Allah. They'll weep about their sins, about their life. They'll pray extra sunnah, extra nawafil. They ask Allah. They try their best. You know, that's why the poor people, the destitute people, the downtrodden people, for many hundred years, 500 years or so, are going to go to paradise before many of us. Why is that so? Why will that take place? Because many of us are just going in the opposite direction. We're not following the way of the messages of the prophets. And as Allah mentioned, وَلَقَدْ كَتَبْنَا فِي الزَّبُورِ مِنْ بَعْدِ ذِكْرِ. We wrote down inside the Quran or inside the Zabur or inside the remembrance in the previous books, أَنَّ الْأَرْضَ يَرِثُهَا عِبَادِيَ الصَّالِحُونَ. That who will inherit this earth? What is the open meaning of this earth is going to be the righteous people. It always comes to the people of dominance, of belief. They will dominate this earth. But there's a deeper meaning. Al-ard huna bima'na al-jannah. The earth is Jannah, is paradise. Only the righteous will go into paradise. Inna fi hadha la balaghan liqawmin abideen. Indeed, inside this Quran is a message for people who worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we find at the end of it, Allah then mentions to follow the Quran and Sunnah. That's what it's saying. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We did not send you except for the mercy to all the worlds. Follow the Quran, follow the Sunnah. That's what it means. Ibn Kathir mentions, اتِّبَاعُ Sunnah. Following the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ gives you what? Rahmah. Mercy fi dunya wa fi al-akhirah. Gives you mercy, compassion, contentment inside this dunya and inside the akhirah. That's why you can see why certain people may become slightly excessive inside their belief towards the Prophet ﷺ. It's plausible. You can understand where it's coming from. It's not just about condemning it outright. It's about understanding their psyche, their perception. Where do they extract it from? Because many classical ulama say the same thing. Ibn Kathir is saying inside his tafsir that when you follow his life, you'll get an external mercy will be given to you. Contentment will be given to you. And inside, more so inside the akhirah. So as we find that excessive praising the Prophet isn't something which is wrong. It's just the kayfiyah. Just maybe the wording that some people may use is the wrong wording. On the day of Yawmul Jumu'ah, excel in praising the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. Aqrabun nasu ilayya, the most closest of people to me on the day of judgment, going to be whom? Those people who make mention of me. Who is the bakhil? Who is the wretched one? Who is the stingy one? That every time my name is mentioned, doesn't say sallallahu alayhi salam regarding my name. Doesn't remember me. So as if this whole surah in its prelude and build-up is saying about who the messenger is. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. That the ultimate blessing to us Muslims is the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. And that's why as we began with to exert our lives, to learn about his seerah, about his sunnah, and to adorn ourselves in that journey. Just like they were mocked and they were ridiculed. Our mocking is a small ridicule. Look at the way you pray, as you mentioned, look at the way you eat, maybe the way that you dress, the way you do certain things. These are small things. Because why? We're small people, small iman. Because you find that the most toughest of people who are tested inside their lives is al-anbiya, thumma al-amthal fa amthal. And a person is tested according to the strength of their iman. In another hadith it mentions, min salabati imanihi. A man is tested according to their iman. The more stronger the test, the more stronger their faith. That's why even Ayyub, that some people try to say, well, maybe Ayyub done something wrong. If you read Tafsir ibn Kathir, he said, what do you mean done something wrong? He was a person in constant ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not everything in life is maybe a person done something wrong, they face calamities. That's another cliche we need to remove. Another sickness that we have. If someone's going through some suffering, oh, maybe they've done this wrong in their life. Maybe they disobeyed Allah. Maybe they've done this innovation. Maybe they've done this haram. Maybe they've done that. Maybe they've done that. Sometimes they could have done nothing inside their life. Allah just wants to test them. Allah wants to purify them inside this dunya qabla al-akhirah. So a simple message today is to remove this judgmental perception we have inside our lives. Read more about the seerah of the messengers, of the prophets, and see how they engage with people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq, the ability to live with them inside this dunya. Be man to live in their sunnah and their path inside this dunya, and to live with them inside al-akhirah, inside paradise, to be with the messengers, all these righteous individuals existed before us.